şunu.
Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you from my home in Arlington, Virginia, a suburb of Washington, D.C. I am Shaka Sali, and today we'll discuss the legacy of President John Pombe Magufuli of Tanzania. Joining us is our distinguished guest, Tundu Lissu, a former Chadema presidential candidate, the main opposition party in Tanzania. Mr. Lissu is also a former president of the Tanganyika Law Society. I have to say, first of all, Mr. Lissu, that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on this special edition of Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you so much, Mr. Shaka Sali. It's always a pleasure to appear on Straight Talk Africa with you. I will say again what I said in Washington, D.C. 2 years ago, that Shaka Sali is not a mere individual. Shaka Sali is an institution. And we in Africa are very proud of your work. We're very proud of your work, and we feel that you have represented Africa, the voice of America, very honorably. And I have overheard somewhere that you have only a short time left before you go to potentially greener pastures. And so please, even if the greener pastures are an honorable retirement. So please allow me to wish you all the very best in your future endeavors.
Profoundly honored for your compliments and support, Ndugu Tundu Lissu.
Asante sana.
Asante very, very. I am not really looking forward to going to what you characterize as quote-unquote greener pastures. On the contrary, I am in fact looking forward to getting an opportunity to motivate and inspire the African youth to be the best that they could be at whatever they choose, drawing from my personal and professional experiences.
Thank you very much for letting me know. If you want to know from me, I will tell you, you are nearly three decades of public service for the continent have inspired millions and millions of young Africans everywhere on the continent, including the one you're talking to right now.
I am really, I think, both flattered and humbled to hear those words of wisdom, that kindness, that generosity from a man such as you, Ndugu Tundu Lissu.
Asante.
Asante very, very. Sasa, unfortunately, we do have circumstances that I would say require that on behalf of my colleagues here on Straight Talk Africa, we would like to extend our profound and heartfelt condolences to the passing away of the former Tanzanian President, the late Dr. John Pombe Magufuli. To the people of Tanzania and Africa.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your heartfelt condolences. And please allow me to say, I will pass the message along. I'm not in Tanzania at the moment, as you may know, but your message of solidarity with the people of Tanzania at this time will reach its intended audience. I will pass the salamu za rambirambi along to the people of Tanzania.
Thank you so much for that. Now that you have a new president in Dodoma, Madam Samia Suluhu Hassan.
Yes.
Are you optimistic that things are likely to change, or do you think they are likely to remain more of the same?
That's a very good question, Shaka. I am very optimistic about the future of Tanzania now that Mama Samia Suluhu Hassan has taken over as president. And this is why. Where the country had reached prior to the death of President Magufuli, the country had reached a dead end. We have a global pandemic called COVID-19. We have lost many people in Tanzania. We do not know the numbers of the people who have died of COVID-19 because of the policies pursued by President Magufuli, Mama Samia's predecessor.
Yes.
But we know so many people and very senior people in the government, and now including the president himself, President Magufuli himself,
okay,
has been brought down by COVID-19. But the President Magufuli had spanned international effort to combat the pandemic. He had refused regional efforts organized under the East African Community and Southern African Development Community, as well as Africa Union, to combat the pandemic as an effort of the region, the East African region, Southern Africa, as well as African continent. The President Magufuli had completely isolated Tanzania on this grave question that is facing humanity at the moment. Now, President Samia Suluhu Hassan takes over with Tanzania completely isolated. I cannot see her continuing on the dangerous and irresponsible path that was unfortunately pursued by her predecessor. So I see an immediate change of course with regard to COVID-19 pandemic. Tanzania, under her leadership, will return to the international fold. Tanzania, under her leadership, will return to sanity, because for the past year or so, we have had a head of state who has spanned science, has spanned international effort, and he has put his faith and the faith and lives of millions of Tanzanians to faith healers, to herbal inhalations, to herbal concoctions of dubious medical value. And this has caused uncountable, because we don't know the numbers, it has cost lives which could have been saved had the president done what the rest of the world is doing, taking measures with regard to COVID-19 that experts worldwide have agreed that these are measures that can deal with the pandemic. So with Madam Samia Suluhu Hassan at the helm, I hope, and I'm optimistic because I also know her personally, I am optimistic that she will change course on this particular point. But that is just one subject. There has been a war on democracy since 2015 when President Magufuli took over. There has been a complete departure from the democratic traditions of Tanzania that began with the reintroduction of multi-party politics in 1992. President Magufuli has cracked down hard on his political opponents, on civil society, on religious bodies that did not tolerate his line, on the free press. And I believe and I hope Mama Samia Suluhu Hassan will change course on these areas as well. I wish her very well. I and my party will support her on these points. If she takes our country on a path to normalcy, on the path back to the international fold, if she reverses course on the question of democracy, of human rights, she will have my unstinting support.
Are you also encouraged by her first statement to the country that Tanzanians should wear masks, for example?
That is what I said when answering your question. We have a new president who has a responsibility to change course on COVID-19. And her first statement that we should all wear masks is a massive, massive milestone in a country in which the president had openly and disdainfully described face masks as akin to brassieres worn by women. The fact that now we have a president who is encouraging us to wear masks, that is a major step forward. And I think that alone gives me and millions of Tanzanians hope, a lot of hope, that we are back to restoring our sanity as a nation.
Let me take you a little back to where you stated that former Tanzanian president, the late Dr. John Pombe Magufuli, died of COVID-19. As a lawyer, Tundu Lissu, do you have incontrovertible evidence, not liable to falter, that clearly point to what you just said as the cause of his death? I say this because the Tanzanian government said that the former president had a heart condition for more than 10 years, and that in fact he may have died as a result of that heart condition.
Mr. Salih, you will need to be very brave to believe any word from the government of Tanzania on this particular point. You will need to leave all your senses behind you to believe them on this particular point. Here is what I know. The president fell ill prior to March 4th of this year, because I heard the news that the president was gravely ill for the first time from an American source on March 4th. March 4th. Mm-hmm. And then the following day, March 5th, I received the same information, corroborating what I had heard from my American source, from a South African source, saying the same thing. The president was gravely ill with COVID-19, and he was actually fighting for his life. He was on a ventilator. Now, I did not go public immediately on the basis of these two sources. I checked with my sources in Dar es Salaam, with my sources within the government, within the high cycles of the Tanzanian government. And they all confirmed what my American and South African sources had told me. And therefore, on Sunday, March 7th, I posted my first tweet about President Magufuli, in which I asked, please tell us, where is President Magufuli and what is his state of health? That was Sunday, March 7th. Now, Mama Samia tells us that he fell ill with a heart condition on Saturday, March 6th. By March 6th, I already had information that he was fighting for his life for 2 days. I had the information, as I said, on March 4th. And then the following day, on March 7th, March 8th, Monday, my sources in Dar es Salaam told me that they were planning to fly the president out of the country, either to South Africa or to Kenya. And my source told me that they are leaning more to taking him to Nairobi, because the way he may not be able to reach South Africa. His situation was that critical. This is Monday, March 8th. That same evening of March 8th, Monday, he was flown to Nairobi. Now, on the morning of Tuesday, I received information from Nairobi from two Kenyan sources, one from the Kenyan intelligence and another one from a very close friend from the cycles of power in Kenya, both of whom told me, your friend is here. That is what they told me. Rafiki yako yuko hapa. When did he come? They said, he was brought in last night. Where is he? And one of those two sources told me he is actually at the Nairobi hospital. Now, I stayed at the Nairobi hospital for 4 months. So I immediately contacted my friends. I've got lots of friends at the Nairobi hospital. So I immediately contacted my friends at the Nairobi hospital. And I jokingly asked them, I hope you have not put him in the suite I was in 4 years ago. I will be very offended if you put him in the same room I was. I was just joking. But I asked them to confirm whether he was indeed in the hospital. And they confirmed that he was at the Nairobi hospital. That was Tuesday, March 9th. On Wednesday, March 10th, my Kenyan sources informed me, one of them sent a WhatsApp message in which he said they are planning to sneak him out of Nairobi and take him to India because they don't want the unthinkable to happen while he's on Kenyan soil. If you look at my Twitter feed on Wednesday, March 10th, I tweeted that information, and the exact words of the message which was brought to me are in quotation marks. That is Wednesday, March 10th. And that same day, I tweeted another message, now from inside the hospital, which told me that they had actually taken him out of the hospital and they were taking him to India. Now, and I tweeted that. On March 17th, the Vice President, now President Samia Suluhu Hassan, tells Tanzanians that the President is dead. These people, you need to be very brave to believe them. You need to leave all your senses behind you to believe their word on this matter. They would never, ever admit that President Magufuli's reckless behavior with regard to COVID-19 finally got the better of him. But that is the truth as far as I know. He died of coronavirus because his closest aides, his chief secretary, died of COVID-19. Two of his personal aides died of COVID-19. During this time, in this period of 1 month, his security officer, the guy that you see, the dark guy that you see behind him all the time, is dead. His ADC, not the military guy. There is this guy who is he's not in unit. He's never in uniform.
Police?
It's very dark. He is gone with COVID-19. So, and this is a president who never wore a mask.
Do you have incontrovertible evidence on that?
I do. The incontrovertible evidence is all these circumstances of everyone dropping dead of COVID-19 and the president behaving as if there was no problem in the whole wide world. And then when he fell sick, they tried to cover it up. You cannot, it will not happen anywhere but in Tanzania.
The man that you describe obviously seems to have been a very, very complex individual.
Oh yeah, he was.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest beta part of the bottom of your Tanzanian heart and soul, what would you say is likely to be his legacy, the legacy of Dr. President John Pombe Magufuli?
The legacy of John Pombe Magufuli would be this: a president who took Tanzania, who tried to take Tanzania 40 years back by very brutal means. A president who used the enormous powers of the presidency under our constitution to destroy the institutions of democracy and accountability that had been painstakingly built over a period of nearly 30 years from the time we went multi-party. A president who did not believe in the rule of law, who believed that the law was what came out of his mouth. And he acted on that law as he knew it. President Magufuli's legacy would be of a president who defied science, who defied the world on a matter of grave danger to the world, COVID-19 pandemic. As a result of his defiance of science and of scientific opinion and of global effort, COVID-19 finally caught up with him.
What would you say was his single most important decision? And what about his single most regrettable decision in your view?
There are actually many, but his war on democracy, his war on human rights, his war on civil liberties on political parties, on civil society organizations, on the press, his war against his critics, as well as his defiance of the world on COVID-19, those are, to me, some of the most regrettable decisions. Now, I know, and people talk about it a lot, that perhaps more than any other president of Tanzania, President Magufuli built infrastructure. And that is true, that Magufuli never stopped being the Minister for Public Works. He was president, but in his mind, he never stopped being the Minister for Roads. So he single-mindedly, obsessively, spent a great deal of public funds for infrastructure.
We owe Tanzania congratulations first for having been the first British East African country to have a female president, head of state. So on that note, congratulations.
I would be a very happy person if in 2025, Samia Suluhu Hassan can run for presidency in her own right.
No comment.
Not hanging on Magufuli's coattails as in 2015 and 2020.
No comment. Ndugu Tundu.
Asante sana. Nakutakia kila laheri katika maisha yako mapya. You have been an inspiration to us Africans. You have made us tremendously proud.
As I said, Ndugu Lisu, I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have had the opportunity to serve my people on the mother African continent and the diaspora. It has been an incredible honor.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you too, sir. That was Tundu Lissu, Tanzania's main opposition leader, representing CHADEMA. We'll now go for a break, and when we come back, we shall continue the discussion. So please, don't go away.
Health, wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Lino Khmudu, in Washington, every week on Healthy Living, right here on VOA.
We're bringing women's voices to the conversation, and more than that, we're building a community of inclusion and empowerment.
Here in Kinshasa, campaigns to raise awareness against the spread of coronavirus are common, but getting that information to people who have no access to water, electricity, or money can be a challenge.
We are here at Kalerwe Market in Uganda, Kampala, where in this whole market, women are crying out for their situations to change.
For women, it will be better for us.
I think a big thing for me is just being able to say that when these protests are happening, does it turn around into policy?
Our kids are raped every single day.
This movement got the government to listen. It really was powerful because it showed what is possible when men and women band together and say, enough is enough.
It's not necessary anymore to climb on a car. I can be in any place to cheer with the people.
Around the world. Let's go.
Hello, you are welcome back to Straight Talk Africa. And for reaction, I am now joined by Professor P.L.O. Lumumba, a Pan-Africanist motivational speaker and professor of public law. I have to say, Professor, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on this special edition of Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Chaka. You are yourself an icon in the African journalism scene, and I'm very glad that you've given me the opportunity to share my thoughts with you this evening in East Africa and this morning in the United States of America.
Profoundly honored for your compliments and support, Professor Lumumba.
Thank you.
Really, let me register on behalf of Straight Talk Africa and Shaka Extra Time. I would like to extend our profound, heartfelt condolences on the passing away of President John Pombe Magufuli of Tanzania, a man that you so admired very much.
That is fit and appropriate that we really appreciate and almost venerate a man who within 5 years has made such an impact not only in the United Republic of Tanzania, but in the continent of Africa and one dare say the world.
Briefly, what kind of man was he really? What made him tick for you?
Magufuli must be understood in the context of his history as a student of Mwalimu Julius Kambarage Nyerere. He served fundamentally after the early Nyerere regime, but he is a cadre of the Chama cha Mapinduzi. And you and me know that Chama cha Mapinduzi is a political party that has a culture and philosophy. And to the extent that he grew up within that culture, one must say that there is some Nyerereism in them. And one may ask, what is Nyerereism? Nyerereism, from where I sit, means the appreciation that an African must have self-esteem, that an African must believe that Africa can solve our problems. An African must believe that the resources of the continent should be utilized for the benefit of the continent, and in a narrower way, that if one is a Tanzanian, one must use one's position for the general good. That is how I understand Magufuli, and he is a go-getter. That's why he had the moniker, the bulldozer, when he was in charge of the road sector in Tanzania.
The bulldozer, indeed. How do you respond to some who were not as impressed by him as you were, who, as a matter of fact, in their words, not mine, regard him as an autocrat?
There is a sense in which it's very easy to label. And those who are his political opponents have no shortage of harsh words to describe his tenure in office. But it is the famous French philosopher Saint-Just who said, no one can rule guiltlessly. No matter what you do, there'll always be critics. And I think it is America's Delano Roosevelt who said that we should not worry about critics, individuals who live between the twilight of victory and defeat, and whose greatest claim is to find a problem for every solution. So he'll be criticized, he will be castigated, he'll be called names, but we've got to judge him on the basis of the mandate that the people of Tanzania elected him to discharge. He was elected as the president of the United Republic of Tanzania. And if you ask any average Tanzanian on a scale of 1 to 10, they'll say he scored over 8. But critics will be there.
Very interesting. If you were to talk to us from the deepest, bitter part of the bottom of your Kenyan heart and soul, what made President Magufuli really tick? What was his vision think?
My view is this was an individual who found himself through very serendipitous circumstances, if you may, as the president of the Republic of Tanzania. He was not the obvious choice during the delegates' meeting, and he told me this himself. And he finds himself in that position, and he was animated by the desire to do good. He was animated by the desire to ensure that the legacy bequeathed to him by his predecessors and the founding father of the nation was to be given impetus. And he therefore went about his duties with a sense of urgency, with a sense, I may say, a sense of impatience, with a sense of dignity, with a sense of seeking to achieve that which he was called to do. And he did it in a manner that did ruffle feathers. He made quite a number of people uncomfortable. And one may say that he was a humanist, a man who was hungry to ensure that his people's lives changed for the better. It is therefore not lost on me that during his short tenure of 5 years, not a single sector of the Tanzanian economy has not been positively touched. And in that regard, he was bound to ruffle feathers, particularly from the neo-colonizers, and I'm using this word very guardedly, who thought that his administration was business as usual, would continue to reap and benefit from the mining sector, from the agricultural sector, from the infrastructure sector. He annoyed many. And remember that he also came at a time when the Tanzanian opposition was beginning to grow wings. And typical with many African oppositions, the agenda is to oppose everything and to propose nothing. And he had to confront those people in a very robust manner. Sometimes they thought that he was a little bit intolerant. And that is going to be debated by historians going forward.
Talking about the opposition and talking about allegations that he was perhaps intolerant, what about some of his critics who said, yes, Tanzania may have adopted the multi-party system in the 1990s, but that up to today, Tanzania functions on a template on one-party state?
You know, there may be merit in that kind of assertion, but let us ask ourselves, what have the opposition parties done to ensure that they have their tentacles spread around Tanzania? You are dealing with the Chama cha Mapinduzi, which was formed out of Afro Shirazi and TANU, that has been on the political scene since independence. And therefore, if you want to dislodge it, it takes a lot more than ramping up the emotions of young people in urban areas. We are talking about a country that is 80% rural. And for that reason, sometimes the opposition confuses the adulation, the apparent adulation that they get in urban areas where there is unemployment for popularity. But when the chips are down, this is a party that has deep tentacles, and the opposition parties must blame themselves. In fact, I think one of the Benjamin William Mkapa did at one time tell the opposition in Tanzania, you are not going to be a credible opposition party until you are able to get into the hearts and minds of Tanzania, which heart and mind has been occupied by Chama cha Mapinduzi for decades. So the opposition must really examine how they approach the issue of dealing with a party as old as CCM. As we see, if you permit me a little comparison, as you see in South Africa with the ANC, as you see in Namibia with SWAPO, as you see in Angola with MPLA, as you see in Mozambique with Frelimo. It is not easy. As you see in Rwanda with RPF, as you see in Uganda with NRM, which are much younger parties.
We spoke to one of the major Tanzanian opposition politicians, Tundu Lissu, a man who during the last election competed for the presidency. He was not that very complimentary. You and I know, of course, that he lives in exile in Belgium, a country that he once called home. How do you react to his allegations, for example?
I know Tindi Lisu is my professional colleague. I respect him. I think the last time I met Tindi Lisu was at a conference in Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe, and we had a short conversation. I sympathize with him that he was the victim of a shooting in Tanzania. But I've listened to some of his comments, and they are very uncharitable. In an African setting, you cannot have enmity with a person who is sick. You cannot have enmity with a person who is dead. That is the African tradition. All death cures all. You can only engage in an assessment of their performance. My friend Tindi is too angry. And sometimes when you are too angry, you cease to get things from their perspective. There is a beautiful saying in Kiswahili, mgala muwe lakini haki yake mpe, that you can kill the gala, which was a tribe, but do appreciate the good that he has done. There is a sense in which if you choose to dismiss President Magufuli wholesale, then you lose even those who sympathize with you, because the extant evidence does reveal that he discharged his mandate and discharged his well, and discharged it well. So to that extent, I find fault with the very angry approach that my good friend Tindi has taken. I think he ought to be more measured. I've said before and I say it now, if he continues on the trajectory which it is and he purges himself of the anger which now resides in his mind and heart and which he spews like venom, then he will lose the traction that he is already getting in Tanzania. If you are measured, if he empathized with the situation, even those whose hearts he had not won may say, behold a leader. Because leadership is judged in times of crisis and how you react to crisis. You remember those infamous words of Malcolm X when JF Kennedy had been assassinated and he said, the chicken have come home to roost. He was never forgiven for those words. And I think that we ought to be very measured when we are talking about fellow human beings, even when they have harmed us.
Talk to me again from the deepest, bitter part of the bottom of your Kenyan heart and soul. What would you say is perhaps the single most important accomplishment of President John Pombe Magufuli during the last 5 years as president?
President John Joseph Pombe Magufuli demonstrated to the world that using your resources and using them prudently and judiciously, you can improve the quality of the lives of your people without being beholden to international institutions, that you can demonstrate to the world that Africans have self-esteem and that if you want to deal with Tanzania, you ought to deal with Tanzania on their own terms, and you ought to deal with them in a manner that is symbiotic and mutually beneficial. He also demonstrated that you can preside over a nation which you have inherited, which is generally united, and keep it as such. And if there was any doubt, the effervescence with which he was sent to his Mecca is indicative of how he was held by the ordinary Tanzanian.
What about his single most regrettable decision?
I think there is a sense in which his response to the COVID situation would have been informed with greater appreciation of science. I understand how he reacted by saying we ought not to be captured by fear. But the manner in which he articulated his response to the COVID situation gave his critics the opportunity to declare him a denier. And I hold the view, in as much as we trust in God, we must also remember that God has equipped us with intelligence, and science is a part of that intelligence. I do know as a fact that Tanzania did not reject science, that Magufuli did not reject science. He actually did, in the very early days, close the schools and introduce all protocols. But because he's dealing in an environment where there is no shortage of people who are trying to misconstrue your statement, he fell victim and he became fodder for the misrepresentation, particularly of certain segments of the press. And perhaps he could have articulated his opposition a little better, knowing as he should have that he had no shortage of enemies in the Western and westernized press.
Wait a minute, Professor Lumumba. Here is a man with an earned PhD in chemistry. And yet, this same man did not seem to have respect for his fellow scientists, did not seem to listen to his public health officials. He did not, for example, encourage or allow the country to collect, gather data, and share it with the World Health Organization. Why would he behave like that? A man with a PhD in chemistry, a man reportedly who taught mathematics.
Shaka, let me contextualize. Remember two things: that when in the month of March in the year 2020, WHO declared COVID a pandemic, Tanzania started doing what other countries were doing in terms of gathering statistics and making them known to the public on a daily basis. Remember that when the Malagasy Institute of Applied Science came up with some medicine called COVID organic, it was okay. Tanzania, yes. Equatorial Guinea, and Ghana, which were the first to order it. Remember that he closed all the schools. Remember that he told the world that he had taken samples, some from goats and some from some other animal and human. Yes. And when they were tested, the scientists were incapable of making the differentiation. So that here was a man who tested the science. Perhaps his only failing in that regard was to assume that science is not exact. And particularly when you have a mutating virus such as the one that we are talking about, there is bound to be mistakes at the very beginning. But also remember this, Shaka, that the approach that was taken by Tanzania was to some extent this approach that was taken by Sweden, that you'd have herd immunity. Mm. The same approach was also taken to a certain extent by Taiwan. The same approach taken to a certain extent by South Korea. And one could argue that part of the reason why Tanzania received the flak is that there are institutions in the world who hold the view that is the duty of African countries to swallow line, hook, and sinker everything that is handed down to them. And if you as much as interrogate them, then you are labeled, you are vilified, you are maligned, and you are called all sorts of names. That is not to take away my earlier assertion that even when you doubt science, you've got to give it the benefit of doubt, because what science has helped human beings achieve is unfathomable, and it cannot be dismissed with a waving of a hand.
Let's talk about an issue that he has been lauded for, and that was the issue of fighting against corruption and graft. How do you respond, for example, to accusations from Tundu Lissu, who you know as well as I do, is not only a lawyer, but in fact is a former president of the Tanganyika Law Society, who says that in fact, to the contrary, that President Magufuli's fight against corruption, in his view, was selective?
That argument is one that I've always heard, that whenever you are fighting corruption, it will always be said it is selective, is targeted towards your opponent. But what is wrong with selection? Let me just confront the question that way. You've got to start somewhere. And you start by selecting individuals who bear the greatest responsibility. Ultimately, they will belong to some opposition party or belong somewhere. But the fact that you are fighting it and you have started somewhere does not mean that that is the end of it. And if it is true that the individuals who are targets were engaged in corruption, why not? So that argument is one that is dead on arrival, is one that is used everywhere where the fight against corruption is mounted. But let us look at the results. I had the opportunity of having a one-on-one conversation with President John Joseph Pombe Magufuli in Dar es Salaam. And he gave me this example, which permit me to give, that when he was closing, his administration ordered the closure of all Forex bureaus, he received flak. And he gave me an example that there was one Forex bureau whose equipment was seized, and their documents showed that they had only received 40 billion Tanzanian shillings. When they went into their equipment during the relevant year, they had actually transacted 1 trillion Tanzanian shillings. In other words, sometimes to deal with this grand theft, which my friend Fahim Boima Fanbule of Liberia calls theft on an industrial scale, you've got to move and move firmly, and you'll be called names, you'll be told you are selective. But in my view, as long as the job is being done, it is Martin Luther King Jr. Shaka who once famously said that if you listen to every criticism that is directed against you in the fight against that which is good and just, you would never do anything except respond to criticism. The choice is yours when you're in a position of power. And sometimes, and you have been in a position of authority, when you are in a position of authority of whatever kind, you must be sensitive, empathetic, and compassionate, but sometimes you've got to be measuredly ruthless. And I'm using the word ruthless very guardedly because there are people who are quick to latch on. You see, you hear, he's saying people can be ruthless. I'm using it very guardedly, and I ought to be understood contextually.
Quoting, of course, the great Martin Luther King Jr., he also once said that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Correct.
What about the fact, for example, that Magufuli is accused for singling out his neighborhood of Chato for development over and above other areas in Tanzania? As a matter of fact, Tundu Lissu went to the extent of talking about how Magufuli, in his view, was corrupt, just in the same way that Mobutu Sese Seko was a banger of former Zaire and now the Democratic Republic of Congo, became so corrupt that he took most of the resources to develop his own area of Badorite. He even further went to give an example of the Ivorian founding president, Ofe Bwanyi, a man, of course, as you know, has the reputation of having built a Catholic basilica in Yamoussoukro for more than $200 million from the state coffers, which he said was from his pockets. And he built it in an area that was predominantly occupied by Muslims. How do you respond to that?
You know, Shaka, Tundu, who is my very good friend, understands Swahili perfectly. He's a perfect Swahili speaker, and I hope he's listening to us. In Kiswahili, there is a saying, anaye kutusi hakuchaguli tusi. He or she who wants to insult you does not choose the kind of insult. Mm-hmm. He has decided to insult President Magufuli, and he'll use any insult that comes to his mind and mouth. When he makes such allegations, I've been to Chato, I had been to Badulite, I've been to Yamoussoukro. You cannot begin to compare the two places. And you only have to travel across Tanzania. I was in Dar es Salaam only the other day. See the kind of development that has taken place in Dar es Salaam. I've been to Mwanza. See the kind of development that has taken place in Mwanza. See the railway line that is running from Dar es Salaam to Morogoro and is soon going to Mwanza. See the airport that is being done there. See the gold buying centers, 27 of them. See the gas that has stretched from Mtwara to Tanzania. See the Mwalimu Nyerere hydroelectric power, which is about to be completed and is going to generate 2,000 megawatts of power. The evidence on the ground contradicts Tindu's assertion so very thoroughly that if he were to be asked to substantiate beyond the sound bites, he would find himself in a very difficult position.
There's no doubt that President Magufuli has done some sort of remarkable job or work, really, on, in some cases, providing the infrastructure.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. Talk to us about what you think, at least in your view, will be the long-term legacy of President John Pombe Joseph Magufuli.
John Joseph Pombe Magufuli will be remembered as a patriot of Tanzania, as a daring leader who dared to do what he considered to be in the best interests of his country without caring what the rest of the world said, as long as the people who had elected him to govern accepted that he was doing the right thing. And I think that that is very important, that the people that gave you the mandate, when they are asked almost to a man or to a woman, if they say kudos to you, then that is a testament to your patriotism. And that must also be combined with what I considered to be his pan-African credentials, the belief that Africans are capable of using their resources for the benefit of their people and to resolve their conflicts within the confines of the continent. History will remember him fondly on those two accounts.
You remind me that what we really need to do is to focus on the forest rather than the trees, because the trees...
Indeed.
Well, on that note, Professor Lumumba, I have to say once again that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have had the opportunity to interact with you. Thank you very, very much, sir.
Thank you very much, and I wish you a good day. Stay safe, stay strong, stay happy.
Thank you, sir, and have a terrific time in Nairobi.
Thank you, sir.
On that note, my thanks to Professor P.L.O. Lumumba and Tundu Lissu, who joined me earlier in the program. And thanks to our audience for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not better. And please, please remember to keep the African hopes alive.